Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I want to say we had a tremendous conference these last 2 days, Black is Back Coalition. It was tremendous. People from all over the world. I tell you, it was so awesome that I tell you that we got a chance to hear some stuff that we should have been hearing all along. But what I want to talk about this virus, because I think it's important that people know that, you know, your immune system has to be built up to deal with it. This is not nothing new, but it's a stronger virus. And they always coming up with something. For some reason unknown, this virus is attacking Black folks and Black men. They said because of the Y chromosome, you have heard it all. But this gives you an opportunity to think a little bit more about analyzing your position, getting yourself ready, and protecting your family against all odds. Today, one of my dear friend Harold Davis, died this morning of the virus. Matter of fact, he was one of my strongest supporters. Financially, whatever I wanted, didn't even have to ask. And he would come down here and see me. He's from Chicago. And he was responsible for me getting to church. He just was an outstanding young man and had his head on right. He knew that land and property should be the direction that people should be going in. So that way you build a foundation. But unfortunately, which it really hurts my heart to even talk about it, but I just have to say something about Mr. Harold Davis. He also owned a radio station in Chicago. I used to be on, even when I was in prison, I would call in every Tuesday, for 30 months, I would call in and talk on this radio show. And he had put money on the phone so they could accept my calls when it come in. It was really just an outstanding person, a guy who was really, really a support. And unfortunately, he leaves a wife and children behind. And I know how devastating they must be. You know, you hear one day and you gone the next. But let me tell everybody this. I don't know how tough this virus is, but right now it's killing people. You see, so now what we got to do, we got to defend ourselves against it and the government, because the government don't care nothing about you. Don't even think for one moment that they care about you. You are expendable. You see, they're figuring out a way how they're going to make money off this virus. And they're going to require probably everybody to take a vaccine or you put a chip in you or something so they can verify that you took the vaccine. It's going to be all kind of stuff going on that you're going to have to be ready for. And here are a lot of things that the people don't know. The government loves crisis like this. Because when the people are fearful, they are more willing to give up their freedom for a promise that the government will take care of them. Can you imagine that? You remember what happened after 9/11? America accepted nearly total destruction of a civil liberty in the Patriot Act. And they said nothing. But we are dealing with something here. This is a brutal attack on the people here in this country. So far, here in the United States, over 21,000 people have died. And I actually see it getting worse before it get better. I must confess, I do not believe one second. I think the total probably between 45,000 and 50,000 people dying. I see that. But I'm the type of guy who just try to be careful and protect the community and the people that I know, but also want to protect you too, so long as you know. It's crucial that we understand the power of our government. Because believe me, you are expendable, whether you think you are or not. You are expendable, you know. If, let's say, if a million people died behind this virus, they would get a vaccine together, make money off of it, sell it to you, because you would think that you have to have this vaccine in order to live. That's correct. But anyway, I want to talk a little bit about Jessica Gray. She's been missing since December 1st. And I'm concerned about that because people know where she at, where her body is, but they will not tell the family, which makes no sense. They can slip a note to me, slide a note underneath my door, underneath my garage. They can do all that. All we're asking for is closure for the family. Jessica Gray has been missing since December 1st. I'm assuming that she's dead. Unfortunately, the family is not ready to believe that. They think it's a possibility something could happen. My take on it, she was shot 4 times, and they dispose of the body. I can't tell you where, I can't tell you what, but that's also what I believe also. I believe that she is no longer a member of this living world. And I believe from my heart that even though the Keystone Cops, which is Benton Township Police Department, the Keystone Cops was these cops that were bungling everything up, couldn't fight their way out of a paper bag, couldn't solve a robbery even if they was in the robbery. That's how bad these cops are. They have the nerve to go around and harassing people, giving them a ticket. There was the other day, two guys shot at each other. They killed a dog. They put an all-point bulletin out for these guys. Now, a dog, they put a bulletin out and refused to go look for a human being. I mean, it was like a manhunt person that accidentally shot a dog. And they thought it was all right. That's the sad part. They really thought they was doing something. Benton Township Police Department, the Keystone Cops. Look up Keystone Cops. You'll see how they operate. And I tell you this, and I got the nerve to pay them taxes. I have to be out of my mind. They lucky that I own a home. If I didn't, I wouldn't pay them a nickel. And I wouldn't even want to call them if something happened, because I know they're going to bungle it up. But anyhow, I'm excited today. Everything seemed to be going our way. We had hit a few bumps in the road. But also, it's T.I. time. It's time to talk about my T.I. family. We are going to expose this government on this issue. We don't know how strong this 5G is for my T.I. family. But it can happen. We have to be aware of what's going on around. I got my good friend who's going to be calling in from he's on the line now, from Texas, the Longhorn State, and he's going to tell us about his experience as being a TI. That's correct. Then I'm going to bring in Amy, my good friend from California, and then the one and only Belinda Parker Brown will close us out. So I'm excited. about this. I don't think nobody can be more excited than me. I'm feeling good about everything, and it's time to make it happen. Let's make it happen. Jesse, are you on the line? My good friend from
Texas.
Yes,
sir. Can you hear me, sir?
I can hear you well, Jesse. How
okay.
you doing today?
I'm still hanging in here, sir, and thank you for being a life-saving angel and for the opportunity.
Well, you know, Jesse, this is really something that people need to know about. And also, you know, with the 5G they got now, we don't know a whole lot about it. We don't know the power of the 5G, but we know it's powerful, and it might be in each and every one of us home. But let me say this. Let's let you tell your story. Then we'll ask you some questions afterward. Talk to me. Tell me where you want us to start at the beginning and work your way all the way through. You got plenty of time, so take us on home.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Basically, I'm a parent of 4 children and also a grandparent of 3 kids. I have a degree in government, and I have been on law school for more than 3 years. For more than 20 years, I have been a victim of harassment and retaliation for denouncing how the federal agents are manipulating the courts to conceal atrocities against children and against other unsuspecting victims. Basically, the information that I'm sharing with my brothers and sisters today can be used not only to prevent catastrophic harm to our children, but to save lives of innocent and other victims. Evidence on the record has proven how those in charge of educating and protecting our children committed fraud on the courts to conceal that the wireless microwave radiation responsible for the poor academic performance, for the increasing number of children with learning and behavioral problems, for the millions of visits to the school nurse, for the millions of student and teacher absences for health reasons, for the increasing number of children collapsing in class and committing suicide, and for the increasing number of children suffering from life-threatening and terminal illnesses. Also, evidence on the court record has proven how hatred inside and outside government committed fraud on the courts to conceal that government-sponsored bullying is provoking mass shootings and other acts of terrorism against our children and against other innocent victims, and to conceal that the same radiation causing harm to our children is the same radiation that is now being used to silence and torture those who denounce government corruption and under the excuse of surveillance and tracking, and even under the privacy of their own homes, and to enrich the wireless industrial complex. My criminal complaints that have been submitted to federal authorities, they've been posted on the case law section of wirelesswatchblog.org. These criminal complaints can be used to request our legislators to protect the future of our children, the future of our country, and the future of our national security. I am sharing this information not for fame, fortune, or recognition. I am sharing this information following the golden rule, as it is written, buy the truth and do not sell it. Also, it is written, open your mouth, judge with justice, and defend the cause of the defenseless. And in this case, the defenseless children and other innocent victims. Electrosensitivity proves conclusively that the ability of the human body to tolerate exposure to wireless microwave radiation is limited, and proves conclusively that a massive medical malpractice and a massive Medicaid and Medicare fraud are in use to conceal that the microwave radiation in school is causing children catastrophic harm and disabilities that defeat the purpose of education. I have been homebound for more than 7 years with a life-threatening electrosensitivity, EHS. Exposure to the same radiation reaching children at school including the microwave radiation emitted by cell phones and cell towers and wireless computers, causes me, among other things, swelling of vital organs and swelling of face, head, and eyes, flu and allergy symptoms, rashes and loss of skin, symptoms of heart attack and of stroke, and speech, concentration, and breathing problems. I have been violently ill several times. At times, I struggle to breathe even with oxygen. I'm sleep deprived and in pain all the time. This is a horrible way to die. My electrosensitivity has been recognized by federal and state agencies and by courts as a physical health condition and as a disability. Electrosensitivity is reaching pandemic proportions. Experts are warning that without knowing, more than 50% of the population may now be exhibiting symptoms of electrosensitivity. Children, teachers, doctors, attorneys, and even a now former director of the World Health Organization are suffering from electrosensitivity. You can see weareTheEvidence.org. weareTheEvidence.org. It is a website by an attorney suffering of this condition. Despite that children are being exposed to microwave radiation that causes harm even to adults, despite of the more than 20,000 peer-reviewed scientific studies of the harm that can be caused by exposure to radiation, and despite that electrosensitivity is reaching pandemic proportions, most doctors are in the dark or in denial of the harm caused by this radiation and continue misdiagnosing, mismedicating, and mistreating the harm caused on children by microwave radiation at school. Recently, a medical doctor testified to the Massachusetts legislature how, if her children had not been diagnosed with electrosensitivity, her children would have spent the rest of their lives misdiagnosed, mismedicated, and mistreated for the harm caused on them by exposure to the microwave radiation at school. How her son, because of his aggressiveness, could have spent the rest of his life on a mental hospital, and how her children are the tip of the iceberg of the millions of children that are now being misdiagnosed, mismedicated, and mistreated for the harm caused by the microwave radiation at school. Exposure to power levels of radiation above the federal safety limits causes harm even to healthy and strong adults, and the wireless devices used by children at school emit more than five times the federal safety limits of microwave radiation. At school, children are being exposed to more than 250 units of microwave radiation, and exposure to less than 100 units can cause electrosensitivity, brain, blood, eye, nerve, heart, and DNA damage, even to adults. In my family, we have several children born with brain damage. The common thing in these children is that their mothers were users of cell phones while pregnant. The number of children with brain damage has increased from 1 in 10,000 to 1 in less than 25, and experts are warning that in a few years, we may have no child left without brain damage, and that by the time parents become fully aware of this danger, we are going to lose many of our kids. Exposure to less than 10,000 units of microwave radiation breaks the blood-brain barrier to allow toxins in the bloodstream, including lead, pesticides, and the mercury in vaccines, and another medication to enter and damage the brain. The same radiation reaching children at school increases by more than 500% the risk of dying to children suffering from life-threatening illnesses. The radiation at school is increasing by more than 500% the children's risk of cancer. The evidence proving how government-sponsored bullying is provoking mass shootings and other acts of terrorism against children and against other innocent victims is on the record. Since the year 2000, the U.S. Secret Service and the U.S. Department of Education have documented how teachers and school officials have turned a blind eye on students encouraging and assisting victims of bullying to commit mass shootings. Bullying, also known as mobbing, organized gang stalking and harassment, and as a Russian roulette for the crazies who engage in bullying to see who gets killed, includes any conceivable microaggression aimed to isolate and to overload the victim's senses, to derail the victim's daily activities, to bankrupt the victims emotionally, socially, and economically, to frame into a crime or involuntary commitment and to provoke the victims to suicide and or violence. Government-sponsored adult bullying includes flash mobs, high-speed tailgating, and road harassment, and any conceivable attempt to derail the victim's life. According to my government and law professors, historically, the FBI, the CIA, and the NSA, and even state agencies, have used mobbing or bullying to silence and to retaliate those who denounce government corruption. Bullies come from all walks of life and includes students, teachers, doctors, attorneys, pilots, pastors, and even legislators and judges. Many engage in bullying as a hobby, especially those with mental problems and who are easily deluded in believing that they are undercover agents. Bullies who score might be rewarded with money, drugs, promotions, raises, and even a night at the topless bar. Bullies are promised immunity if caught breaking the law. As a bully stated, with national security, we can get away with murder. The evidence proving that government-sponsored bullying is provoking mass shootings and other acts of terrorism includes the fact that the bullies that are encouraged and assisted in the preparation of the mass shootings and other tragedies are never prosecuted, and by the swift intervention of federal and state agents to vanish the evidence proving the motive that provoked the tragedies. According to my government and law professors, government-sponsored bullying is being used to conceal the harm caused by defective products, to deprive people of their rights, and to silence and retaliate against those who denounce government corruption. Government-sponsored acts of terrorism, like mass shootings, have been used as an excuse to deprive people of the right to bear arms. In my case, government-sponsored bullying has been used as a retaliation for denouncing the fraud on the courts, to conceal the harm being caused on unsuspecting victims by microwave radiation in school and by harmful radiation surveillance and tracking. According to a survey by the federal government, millions of Americans are victims of bullying of radiation surveillance, and federal agencies have used the government-provoked acts of terrorism as an excuse to seek extensions and expansions of the Patriot Act to continue the massive wireless radiation surveillance and tracking, and to enrich more the wireless industrial complex. Evidence on the record details how federal agents attempted to make a nuclear 9/11 to justify the massive satellite radiation surveillance and to enrich the wireless industrial complex. On the year 2012, a defendant in federal court in Brownsville, Texas, claimed that he had been framed into child pornography in retaliation for denouncing how federal agents attempted to smuggle in a briefcase a small nuclear bomb that was to be detonated on American city. In reply, the federal judge said that he was to share the information with other judges and did not allow admission of the evidence showing the attempts to detonate a nuclear bomb in American soil. What is radiation surveillance? Radiation surveillance is radiation directed to a home, workplace, and even to a moving vehicle, and which includes microwave, laser, and X-ray technologies. This wall-penetrating harmful radiation is bounced from the targets to record and monitor on a video screen even the most intimate activities of a family. This harmful radiation can be directed from satellites and can be aerial and land-based. According to counsel, a record from the U.S. Attorney General, X and gamma rays are being used for surveillance of homes and by government and hate groups. According to a federal agent, they caught people with homemade radiation weapons trying to cook alive their neighbors. Because the radiation used by surveillance and tracking can cause severe harm even to healthy and strong adults, this radiation has been used to maim and torture unsuspected victims, including children and even in the privacy of their own home. During the 50s and 60s, these horrifying technologies were used to maim and torture to death men, women, and children in the U.S. Embassy in Moscow. The same or similar technologies may have been used to cause severe physical harm, including brain damage to men, women, and children in 2018 and 2019 on the U.S. embassies in Cuba and China. The U.S. Army used directed microwaves to burn the skin and breasts of women peace protesters. The late and former president of Venezuela blamed the U.S. government for using directed radiation to cause his fatal prostate cancer. Hundreds, if not thousands, of Americans have complained of radiation aggressions. The federal government has claimed no duty to protect people from these acts of terrorism. Electrosensitivity proves conclusively that the wireless radiation surveillance and tracking are being used to maim and to torture to death unsuspecting victims and even in the privacy of their own home. A specific, concrete, and undisputed medical, scientific, and legal evidence on the record has proven that I was subjected to government-sponsored bullying and to a radiation surveillance in retaliation for denouncing how members of the judiciary committed fraud on millions of dollars of federal funds while giving law degrees to those affiliated with federal agencies. The same evidence has proven that the retaliatory radiation surveillance caused me a life-threatening electrosensitivity and other severe harm and disabilities. My tribulation started back in 1997. At the time, I was on my second year of law school in Lansing, Michigan. During that time, I found evidence proving that the law school was a big fraud. 6 days after I submitted the evidence of fraud to the dean of the law school, I found myself in the emergency room with breathing problems and life-threatening swelling of heart. The cardiologist could not find the cause of the life-threatening swelling of heart. The dean of the law school was an attorney for the U.S. Department of Justice. During the same time, I became a victim of government-sponsored bullying. At one time, two police officers with a dog were waiting outside the law school to subject me to a drug search. At another time, a lady police officer disguised as a prostitute attempted to entrap me into soliciting prostitution. At another time, there was an attempt to run me over, and the police department refused to run the plates of the vehicle. Several times, money was placed on sites where I waited for the bus, and at times, I was closely followed by what appeared government agents. Some of their pictures became part of the federal record. About a month away from finishing my law degree, the swelling on my face and my heart pain and breathing problems increased, and I sought help from an FBI agent in Texas, my home state, who in turn advised me to place a radar laser detector inside my apartment. After I told the FBI agent that I had videotaped the radar laser detector going wild in the middle of the night, he advised me to go back home before the radiation caused me more harm. However, I was reluctant to leave my law studies when I was so close to finishing my law degree. I left Lansing, Michigan, and came back home to Texas the same day two men were trying to break into my apartment at 3 o'clock in the morning. That was July of 1998. I left the school in good moral and academic standing under the school's honor code. The government-sponsored bullying and the radiation surveillance followed me to my hometown, Mission, Texas. A man that had been following me forgot his wallet on a phone booth. His driver's license was from Lansing, Michigan, and I notified the police department. On February of 1999, I filed a federal lawsuit pro se to compel the law school to allow me finishing my law degree at a law school in Texas. On February of 2000, I attempted to make a criminal complaint with the local FBI office against those who committed fraud of federal funds. And the next day, I caught three FBI agents attempting to put something in my car at the elementary school that I was working at that time. And I collected evidence of the attempts to frame into a crime, including their names, plate numbers, and an FBI badge number. The principal of the school and a teacher witnessed part of the attempts to frame into a crime. In response to a lawsuit, the U.S. Attorney General did not deny the attempts to destroy the evidence or their attempts to frame into a crime. On June 2000, a medical expert diagnosed my electrosensitivity. The same day, another expert corroborated the diagnosis. On the year 2001, and in response to my application to a Texas agency for rehabilitation technology of my electrosensitivity, I was subjected to a mental evaluation which found my mental health normal. Evidence on the record proves how federal agents manipulated the U.S. magistrate, who was also a professor at the law school, and the U.S. chief judge to take advantage of the aggravation of my electrosensitivity to commit fraud on their court and to dismiss the case. During that time, the year 2004, Michigan became the first state in the country to criminalize an electronic aggression with up to life without parole, that is House Bill 4514. During the same time, Massachusetts criminalized simple possession of a radiation weapon. The city of Richmond, California, has passed a law to prevent satellite surveillance. However, the ordinance exempts federal agents. On the year 2002, and in response to my applications for disability benefits, I was subjected to another medical evaluation by a doctor designated by the Social Security and who corroborated my electrosensitivity. On the year 2003, the Social Security found my electrosensitivity a severe impairment. On the year 2003, I filed a federal lawsuit pro se against the U.S. Attorney General to cease and desist from the use of radiation surveillance after I videotaped my children screaming in pain in their sleep in the middle of the night while meters were showing high levels of radiation inside my home. During the litigation against the U.S. Attorney General, I submitted, among other evidence, a videotape documenting the radiation aggressions, a sworn affidavit of a former government agent who twice went to the hospital bleeding internally after he offered to testify in court to the legitimacy of my claims of electronic aggressions. During the litigation and on a phone call, consular record for the U.S. Attorney General admitted that X-ray and gamma rays can be used for government surveillance of homes with pregnant women and children, admitted that others could be used in these harmful technologies against unsuspected victims, and claimed that the government does not have the duty to protect people from these aggressions. During the litigation to compel the U.S. government to cease and desist from using this harmful surveillance on my kids and my family and myself, the magistrate judge interfered with my ability to present expert witnesses in support of my claims. Although my wife, my brother, and my oldest daughter testified to my mental stability, and my wife testified how my children screamed in pain in their sleep when meters show high power levels of radiation inside the home in the middle of the night, the two federal judges assigned to the case fabricated testimony and committed fraud on the court to dismiss the case. The evidence of their misconduct stays undisputed on the record. During that time, I became a victim of road harassment. People in speeding vehicles yelled at me that I was a child molester, mentally insane, a spy, and a terrorist. Because of the bully's malicious attempts to impeach my character and mental stability, several times I explained to my mother not to confuse my electrosensitivity with a mental problem. Several times she told me that she knew that I was not crazy and that she had seen my face and eyes very swollen, especially when I came back from work. However, in March of 2003, when my wife and kids were absent, neighbors persuaded my mom to believe that I was neglecting medical care for my pain and swelling and that a state hospital was able to cure electrosensitivity. Without knowing, my mother signed an order for my involuntary commitment to a mental hospital. I spent the night on the emergency room with life-threatening swelling of heart caused by the radiation inside the buildings. The next day, I showed to the doctor the medical records proving that my commitment had been sought in error, including the diagnosis of my electrosensitivity by medical experts and pictures of the swelling of face and eyes and how the swelling inside my skull was so severe as to push an eye out of its socket. The doctor told me that because he never heard about electrosensitivity, then I was delusional. However, he placed me on a room with less radiation. The next day, a doctor with expertise in electrosensitivity made an evaluation of my mental health, concluding that the only problem I had was to explain to people that electricity causes me harm. I was released the same night. The medical records of the emergency room document life-threatening swelling of heart. On the year 2004, another doctor corroborated my electrosensitivity. On the year 2005, after reviewing videotapes of the pain and suffering caused on my children and on myself, while mirrors show high levels of radiation inside my home, a police investigator concluded that we had been victims of radiation aggression by X-rays, and claimed that the chief of police himself was to investigate my case. Then another investigator called me to tell me that they were not to help me out because the local FBI office had told them not to intervene because I was the target of a CIA investigation. Wow. Government-sponsored high
school. Jesse, let me interrupt you just for a sec. Yeah, Jesse, this is a tremendous story, and I got to get you back. I think what I'm going to do, I'm going to have you come back next week and finish everything up, because I think what you're saying is so important, and I believe that I got to give you some more time, but I scheduled two other people to be on, and I'm sorry that I don't have much time, but next week I'll let you have a whole show to talk about this, because I think this is just that important, because it's saying everything that I've been saying for years. And I really appreciate you, Jesse. But look.
Oh, thank you. Time, thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you.
Right.
I was afraid. Time, I was afraid that my phone was going to be interfere again, but thanks God, you know, you can hear me okay. But anytime, you know, I'll be happy to share with people what my experiences and the evidence that they can use to protect their kids. And thank you, sir.
And very good. And we're going to do it again next week. I'm going to have you on so you can finish up the story, because I know it's a sensational story, and I think people just need to hear it. But unfortunately, I have scheduled other people to be on, and we won't get a chance to hear it all. But really, really appreciate it. And then I get a chance to ask you some of the questions that I want. Hang on. Don't leave, because I'm going to bring in Amy. She's the one who went out and got the Richmond Council to put a disposition on that, whatever she did. She's the one who did the work on that. So I'm going to bring in Amy, and then I'll bring in my good friend Belinda Brown. But I got to bring Amy in now. So Amy, talk to me. Tell me what you need to say, and let's take this thing to another level, because I still got to bring in Belinda Brown. Well, let's take it from there.
Okay, greetings, Reverend Pinckney. You hear me clear?
I hear you loud and clear.
Okay, now, I'm going to support the other speaker before me, because he was speaking so well. I was like, I should just tell Reverend Pinckney, reschedule me. He's doing so well exposing while we quarantine, while we going through these different things. I want you all to know they don't want this mind control 5G exposed to you all. Reverend Pinckney been working with us for years, trying to get the message to you all the best we could. And you all need to know this is real. They're up in your heads like a radio. Now, I'm going to read a government patent to you, and you need to write the number down and go look it up for yourself, because this is not no time to play and speculate. These people working on depopulating the planet, and they doing this countries, and they unifying together. And they not just in the United States now. And you notice that Truman, President Donald Trump, so-called impeachment thing, it happened with something in Hollywood. Well, not in Hollywood, but the entertainment industry in general, the celebrities, the people in our places. Here comes Kobe Bryant's death. There's another form of, okay, American people, y'all look this way, y'all look that way, and now everybody voted for us. You can't go outside. How about that? But those targeted individual people, we told you was crazy, telling you about this 5G. Now everybody locked up. Now they don't listen to the TI, don't they, Reverend Pinckney?
They sure will. And so, listen, you kind of like your voice is, you know, talk directly into the phone.
Okay, so they're going to listen to you now, Reverend Pinckney. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. I can hear you now.
Okay, so USP 6039688 on March the 21st, 2000, Therapeutic Behavior Modification Program, Compliance Monitoring and Feedback System. Vincent Douglas Peter, abstract says a therapeutic behavior modification program. Compliance monitoring and feedback systems include a server-based relational database and one or more in microprocessor electronically coupled to the server. the system enables development of a therapeutic behavior modification program having a series of milestones for individuals just necessary to maintain his or her health or recover from ailments or medical procedures. That's how advanced this technology is. It can heal the body or it can kill the body. Let's move on to the other information to let you know about. This is on the database system and its graphical systems interfaces of programs that's motivated for individuals to comply with the program. And if not, you see, we quarantine and nobody can do nothing about it because this is an interface shakedown. And I'm not playing when I say that. I'm serious. Now, the name of this weapon is called the Godly Weapon. It's called Project Soul Catchers from Dr. Robert Duncan's book, Declassified. And what this weapon talks about, it talks about bidirectional association memory, probing the mind. The most important technique in memory, in techniques in memory, probing is association by repaying a particular, repaying a particular smell, all sorts of memories can come flooding back. Smell is, for some reason, one of the strongest memory association triggers. Flash a face, we're talking about facial recognition, 5G. Somebody can monitor your face and you don't even know you've been monitored. You may have a tingling sensation on the face. You may have a scratch on the face. You may itch your face. You may move your face. You may sneeze. You may burp. You may do different things. And not even know it's 5G. It's interfering with your body. Say several evoked potentials, such as T300, if the target mind recognizes it, meaning they create codes in your life. They create trauma in your life. They do things to you in your earlier life when you're a child or in the womb of your mother. You be thinking that you have these complicated pregnancies. You think that different things happen with you. Your baby is ready to come out. Well, guess what? Somebody can make your child be force-bred child as a their human subject. Why? Because we are made of energy. Why? Because the brain do not have a firewall. We wasn't God and meant for us to be computerized by no computers. So God never wanted us to have no device that will have a firewall like a computer. These are mad scientists who wanted to control the world. So what they did was they took every race, whatever race you came from, they took you, they made you a celebrity, they made you a politician, they had to sign on to the Illuminati, and you agreed to use this mind control for this new world order. No matter where you are, they agreed to do it, and the targeted individuals is not the Messiah, but they are the to tell you all that you better know that you is not exempt of being controlled from the day you came out of your mother womb. If you don't believe it or not, that's not my problem. I know I was. I know I have history on my own life experience and others who agree. Some people think it happened to them without. They think their childhood was normal. They have that right. I'm not going to argue with them. But I'm going to stay with the time when the war technology was then developed. And I'm not going to think that from them using this on the mass populace, they already had the microchips in our bodies. It's just called nanotechnology. It's technology that is already in our bodies that's smaller than a microgram. A grain of as small as a micrograin of rice, and they already know, and they already know that from what we're going through, they already know that this technology is in our bodies, and they know that this technology is already in the immune system digesting. It's just like when we went to go take them shots for school to get vaccinated. The laboratories already was controlled. Everything was controlled. When your body starts acting up, that's because the nanotechnology is acting just like a TV germ, waiting to be activated, waiting dormant in the body, waiting to be activated. When they turn your chip on and off, it's on anyway. It's just that if they want to turn that frequency up, that's when you know it's in your body. They don't turn it up on everybody. And I want you all to know that. And I'm going to tell you why they don't turn it up on everybody. Because the CIA, hear me good, the CIA don't roll like that. The CIA has always been people that roll through centuries. Y'all better understand that. Do you know a century is 100 years? Nobody lasts that long. So they keep the secret in place and keep everybody not thinking that it's not me, it's not you. Then they keep us under control. The technology is in our body. What can we do about it? Nothing. What can we do about to them? Something. Because it's just like they made some Frankenstein-like people. So now we have to sue them for reparation and have filed charges, criminal charges of war crimes, because we didn't give them no permission to put nothing in our bodies. We thought we was going just like we did with the Tuskegee experimentation. We thought we was going to get some. Our fathers thought that they was going to get some type of vaccination, some good medical treatment. Families don't even know how they was experimented on. That's another CI. It's just in a different direction. It's about pumping stuff up in the body and the food and the water and the air. So it started with forcing me to be bred and forcing me to breed. Then my son was.
Amy, you got about a minute and a half. Why don't you tell us what you want to know? Then I'm going to let you come on again at another time and finish that up, because I think what you're saying is too important that people have to realize everything you said, because I wanted to get to the Richmond thing, but I don't have the time right now. I got to bring in my good friend Linda Brown.
We can get to that another day. That's right, Reverend Pinkney. We can get to that another time. But the overall is I'm giving you some personal experience from what happened to me with my life experience, this technology in my body and living with it, and the person who spoke before me, they also is telling you their personal experience. When you find out through your childhood or throughout your life, it's just like somebody lied to you, and you want to find out and get to them and tell them why did they put something in you and try to destroy you.
Absolutely.
And you would have never known if you wouldn't have woke up if they would have turned that 5G up on you.
Right. Amy, listen, let's pick a time where you can where I can give you more time, because people need to know all about this, because a lot of times people don't believe stuff like this unless someone is there to tell it. So I got to move on, Amy.
Be good. That'll be good, Reverend Pinkney, because next week I want to talk about the celebrities who I know is talking to me. And don't be surprised if I say J.C. and Beyonce. Please don't.
All right. I got you, young lady. All right, then we'll talk soon. Thank you so much. That's my good girl. That's my girl, Amy. And I tell you, she got a lot to say. Now I got to bring in the one and only Belinda Brown from Slidell, Louisiana. That's the girl. It's going down. Belinda Parker Brown. Talk to me.
Hey, Pastor Pinckney. Wow, I was really enjoying the show. I was wondering if we was gonna get a chance to cue me in, because I do have something very important, and I know our time is short, but I want to say that we just came out of a dynamic conference with the Black is Back Coalition, and you were one of the facilitators in that, and you did an excellent job. I enjoyed you so. You had me laughing and just, full of joy listening to you when it comes to telling the people what it is they really, really need to know, Pastor Pinckney.
Absolutely. I tell you, that was a tremendous conference. People should look up the Black is Back Coalition and try to join, and if not, donate to it, do something to it, because you got to have resources in order to function. Well, listen, let's hear what
you know why, Pastor Pinckney, because you're absolutely right. You know, if it's organizations out here like the Black is Back Coalition that are uniting other organizations on a unified front, is what we really need in wake of this horrific crisis that we're facing with the coronavirus. I really feel strongly that things will not be as usual. We will not go back to the same old, and that this is the opportunity for us as Black people especially to unite and join up and become a powerful force to, make the changes, that the real changes that people need to see, Pastor Pinckney. You know, I've been pondering this, and I feel like the time is now. I think that came out that if there's ever been a time for us as Black people to unite and have our own plan for our agenda, now is that time, because you know that the seriousness of this coronavirus is saying that, we are being marginalized, and there is a major disparity that Black people are the ones that are going to die from this disease more so than any other race. So this ain't just started with us, Pastor Pinckney. This has been going on for a very long time. And I just want to salute people like yourself that's been in the trenches. You have inspired me and, to do the work that I do here in Louisiana. And I just want to let the world know, the listeners out there, that it's so important that we join up and we support your work and join up and become a part of the Black is Back Coalition to unite us all on a strong united front, because we can't wait now. You know, you've been pleading and basically running around, and I have been doing the same thing, trying to get people to understand the power of unity, for them to stand up, to come together, and to fight back. Now, here we go. We got the coronavirus, the COVID-19 that, is killing us. So, I had said in the conference, and this is really heavy on my heart, because a lot of times, people don't wake up and realize or try to, listen to the people that's been saying this all along, all the time, or support this type of work that we have been doing on the front lines until something happens. They either want to wait till something happens, and for a fact, Pastor Pinckney, when somebody dies in the family, here they come. They pack the church out, at the wake, at the funeral, at the repast. We ain't seen each other in years, and some of them in decades, but here come everybody showing up as soon as somebody died. So my mama always told me, don't bring my flowers, don't wait until I die to give me my flowers. So right now, what we're saying to the people, now we got the COVID-19, that's killing You know, people are dying from this, Pastor Pinckney, and the thing about this disease is that, you know, it's a lot of diseases out here that's killing people. But the thing about this COVID-19 is that people are dying fast. I'm here to tell you that, you know, I got some stories that are literally that would make the hair stand up on the back of your neck about how fast people are dying from this virus, Pastor Pinckney. So now, this is a wake up. You know, we should have been and woke up, okay? But you already know that, you know, this has been going on for, you know, 150 years that black people have been marginalized. You know, the government here in this country is racist. You know, we've been discriminated. We've been lynched, you know, out in the open. Now they got a sophisticated form of lynching where they're lynching us in the courtrooms, okay, and then they're packing us in the prisons. All right, you know, everybody know that it's more black people incarcerated in this country than any other race or nationality. Black and brown people are the ones that are suffering up under these Jim Crow laws that have put us in bondage for decades, okay? So now, all right, this is an opportunity. The greatest opportunity I consider right now, Pastor Pinckney, in the world, for us as black people to say, look here, hitherto come no further, we're not going to take this anymore. So we have to unite and come together because and do what we need to do for ourselves now, okay? Because we got to build our table so that they would come to us. We got to stop looking for handouts and running looking for help in all the wrong places where we know for a fact that they never intended to help us in the first place. We have been exploited. It was designed for us to be exploited, used, abused. Like my grandmother said, they chew us up and spit us out and hang us up on a rusty nail, okay? So my concern right now is that let's use this opportunity to unite us. You know, people are going to die. It's a lot of people that are going to die from this COVID-19. And it have already touched it so many families, Pastor Pinckney. Mm.
Say it, Belinda.
We can't wait.
No.
We have to do this now. We have to join up and support the Black is Back Coalition. We have to support Louisiana United International. And you know for a fact, Pastor Pinckney, that you know the BACO, the Black Autonomy Organization that you have been heading up for years, warning people, pleading, almost getting down to the point where you to sacrifice your life to go to prison and everything on behalf of this fight. Okay? This is a real fight that we in, people, and we ain't just got into this fight. But I think that this opportunity with this COVID-19, we better listen to somebody. No, we better hear. We better hear what's really going on. And I'm telling you, because your money can't save you, your prestige can't save you, the Republican Party can't save you, the Democratic Party can't save you, okay? It's nothing you can do because the COVID virus, it says that it stopped you from breathing. And when Eric Gardner said, I can't breathe, you going to die. So what we're saying right now, Pastor Pinckney, is that before death comes to your door, don't wait. Unite. We as black people, and I'm telling you, Pastor Pinckney, they waiting on us. They already see us coming because, we've been waiting on this for a long time for our people to wake up. And I believe they're coming. I'm telling you, Pastor Pinckney, they are coming to their natural bone senses now that this is it. This is the time for us to unite, and we're going to get it right this time, all the way right.
And I strongly, strongly agree with you. This is our time. This is time that we need to come together. You know, we need to stop that, you know, that we run fast, but we don't run long. We need to stop all that. It's time that we change the way we think. But Belinda Parker Brown, I am sorry to tell you this, but we have just ran out of time.
Wow, and I wanted to talk about all these pop-up organizations. Everybody want to fight over peanuts. Instead of us coming together, they want to fight over peanuts to get a grant, a 501(c) to get some tax exemption, and that foolishness got to stop. We don't need no hands out. We can take care of ourselves, and that's what we're going to have to do, Pastor Pinckney. Come together so we can take care of ourselves and our families.
Amen. Amen. Belinda Brown, on that note, I'm going to have to see you next week, same time, same station. And everybody, next week will be another very interesting show. So I'm going to say to all, good night, have a good time, and stay safe, and stay focused. On that note,